This is HPR episode 2969 for Thursday, the 19th of December 2019. Today's show is entitled Crewing a Spaceship in Haskell. It's part of the series Haskell and it's hosted by Tukutoroto. It's about 23 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is how to calculate the amount of crew needed for a spaceship.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you are listening to the Hacker Public Radio and this is Tuturoto. Today I am going to talk about how to crew a spaceship in Haskell. And this time I'm going to try something a little different. Instead of going through each and every function and explaining each and every detail there, I'm going to give a broader overview of this thing and concentrate on how I arrived to this solution, because there's plenty of tutorials in Haskell how to do some little things, but there isn't that much of about how to take a big problem, subdivide it into the smaller problems, solve those smaller problems, and then combine them to a solution of the big problem. So that's what I'm going to try this time. Hopefully you will like it. So we have written a designer for making spaceships, or rather blueprints for the spaceships, and that works that you first pick a hull, and then you put on different kinds of components. For example, sails, bridge, sensors, sleeping quarters, and so on. And and you are limited by the weight and slots that you can use. There's a similar system for the ground vehicles in the future, but now we are going to concentrate on spaceships. And no spaceship moves without a crew. So, and the amount of crew needed depends on the components. If you have a science ship with lots of sensors, then you will need lots of sensor operators to operate those sensors. And then you are going to need artificers to maintain those sensors. And if you have a lots of people on board of your ship, then you need somebody to coordinate the efforts. So, for example, when you have five sensor operators, they will be second class crew members. Every five second class sensor operators will require one first class sensor operators. And then when you have five of them, you will need Then you are going to need a senior sensor operator. So there's second class, first class, and senior. On top of that, as soon as you have 10 second class members, you are going to need a chief in case of sensor operators, he's a chief sensor operator. There is always one of them. There won't be many of them. And this person is in charge of overall coordination. So you have a crew positions like sensor operators, and then you have ranks like second class, first class, senior, and chief. This is different from the military ranks. Those I haven't even really given thought about. This is just a hierarchy inside of a ship, who does what and who coordinates who. Okay. So, and of course, in a spaceship that is out there for years at a time, you're going to need some quarters. So you have to have a living quarters for all the crew you are carrying, and you could have a passengers. Then you have to have a living quarters from them too. And there's different types of living quarters. There's a steerage that is basically just cramming as much people in there as small space as possible. And then there's regular ones, and then there's the luxury ones. Luxury ones are those big suites. Okay. So how would I go about this? So usually I start about thinking. When I start to think about these things, how to solve some problem. I usually draw a lot on the paper, with pen and paper, do mind maps, do some sketching, think about what kind of things I need, what kind of things are related. Sometimes I have a lot of things that I just cross over and think that this would be really cool to model, but this would get too complicated. And from there, you often come up with the types that tell what the things are. So in this case, data types are shown in the show notes, but they're not that important on following the episode. You can probably follow without the show notes. But the data types that I'm having in this time is that there's a chassis and regard components, plant components, and these are chassis is the hull. Regard components are the list of things that have to be installed. If you have a spaceship, you have to have a star sail, otherwise you cannot move. And those depends on the hulls. Some hulls have to have more sails than other. And then there's things like bridge and living quarters and so on. Then there's the planet components. This is a list of things that the designer has actually planned. This is the list that they have put on the design. Okay, and the unit stats is that tells the estimated performance of the design. And for this episode, it's very small. We only have the minimum crew and nominal crew. These tell how much the crew is absolutely needed, absolute minimum crew to operate the ship, and the nominal crew tells what crew is needed to get the optimal performance out of the ship. This for the crew type of crew requirement. And then there's the total crew space, telling the how much space there's aboard of the ship for sleeping and living, and also a flag that tells if the crew space is required. For a spaceship, it's always required, but for some smaller ships or land vehicles, that isn't required. And crew requirement is just it tells you what position. This can be a navigator, sensor operator, gunner, doctor, captain, rank, that's the second, first, senior, or chief, and how many of them are needed. Okay, then how would I, right, one more thing, total crew space. That has a three numbers for telling crew space that the ship has on a steerage quarters, standard quarters, and luxury quarters. Because it's easier, it's easiest to the most amount of people you can get on board of the ship is by using steerage quarters, but they are very cramped and very uncomfortable, and crew won't like it. Everybody would like to have a luxury quarters, but those are so huge and heavy that you have to strike balance and have some amount of storage quarters, some amount of standard quarters, and if you have a passengers, they probably will want luxury quarters, especially if you have some sort of cruise ship that just goes from planet to planet and transports rich people on perpetual holidays. Okay, so how would I go about this? So that's a description what I wanted to build. So I decided to chop it into pieces. First, I wanted to figure out how many people are needed to operate a given ship. Just operate. And from when I know that amount of people and positions, then I can figure out how many people are needed to manage them, to coordinate them. So when I know amount of sensor operators, then I can figure out how many people are required to manage them, or coordinate them. And from that, that's basically what we need to do here. And because in Haskell, if you have something that you have a list of something and you want to do an operator to each and every time, then it's enough that you know how to do that operation to single item, and then you just use a fmap to run that operation to all of those items on the list. So that was my idea here. So knowing how much crew are needed to operate a single component was the first step. And it's not always a integer amount. For example, in case of the long range sensors, I decided that you need for every long range sensor, you need one sensor operator to man the station. Then you need one crew member to help them. And then you need 0.1 artificers to maintain the sensors. So if you have 10 long range sensors, then you need 10 sensor operators, 10 crew members, and one artificer. And of course, if you have only one sensor, you need one sensor operator, one crew member, 0.1 artificers, but you cannot have 0.1 person aboard of your ship, so you have to get one artificer. So it's in that case it's 3 people. So I made a function that just, it's called comp to crewreg, that takes a component and gives you a list of how many people are required to operate this one. And then when I have that function, and then I have the amount of planned components, I can just run that function to those components that have been planned to be installed on a ship. We are dealing with the blueprints after all here. Then I will get a list of people. So there's a list that contains lists of people of different positions and amounts. These don't have ranks, these are assumed to be second class. And then I just combine those. Then I combine those lists to one big list. There's a join function for that. And I get one big list of people that are needed to operate all the components aboard of the ship. And there's of course the same position. For example, if you have multiple sensors, you will have multiple sensor operators. So next step is to go through that list and combine them together. like if you have a one sensor operator and next item is one sensor operator, you're going to sum them together, and then you have two sensor operators. Okay, and that is done by the function called addRec. That just takes a component crew rec, that is the fractional amount of people, list of component crew recs, and makes a list of component crew recs. And yeah. So basically, and now that I have combined those requirements together, now I have a list of requirements, but each position shows up the only ones. So now I have a list of 10 sensor operators, one captain, and 5 artificers, and whatnot. So then the next step is to take that list and figure out how many people are required to manage that list how many first class, senior, and chief level people are required to coordinate operations of that crew. And that's again just a piece of math. I'm just going through the list, checking that if I have at least 10 second class members of something, then I will add automatically. I will add a chief of the same crew position to the list, and then I'm running a modulo 5 to get amount of people needed to get the amount of first class people. So if I have 0 to 4 second class, I'm not getting any first class, but as soon as I have 5 or more, then I start getting the first class crew members. And then on that amount, I'm running a module 5 again to get the senior members. And those I'm all adding up onto the list. And of course, there's a one thing that I forgot to say, because when I was making a list of people needed to operate sensors, that list was done with the fractions. So you could have a 0.1 artificer per sensor station. But before figuring out the coordinating crew, I have had to move from the fractions to the integers, rounding up. So if I had a 0.1 artificer or 0.7 artificers, then it got rounded up to 1. And if I had 2.3, it got rounded up to 3. So I get a whole crew members, and from that number I figure out the amount of crew members needed to coordinate them. And then I get a list of crew members. Now I have a list of crew members that tells me that this is the amount of second class, first class, senior, and chief level crew members needed to operate this ship in full capacity, in best of the ship's ability. Then you have a skeleton crew, that is the minimum amount of people to get ship moving and doing something, and that is just the nominal crew that we figure out previously, and then I arbitrarily decided that it's a 1/3. So I divide everything by 3, rounding up, and that's what is needed to operate the minimum crew needed to operate the ship. That's just an arbitrary decision. Well, lots of things are arbitrary decisions when you're building up a game. Well, basically, decision done by you. So originally, this looked a bit hairy problem, like lot of moving parts. But in the end, it was just figuring out pieces where to cut it into smaller problems, solving those smaller problems, and then combining them to a bigger solution. And that's something that is hard to learn from the books. Programming is really hard to learn from the books anyway. In my opinion, you cannot do that. You learn by doing. So theory is important, but more important is that you actually apply that theory. You can, in my opinion, you can read tons and tons and tons of books, but if you never try out those things in practice, you are not going to be a programmer. So one of my friends said that being a programmer, if you want to be a good programmer, you have to be willing to be a really terrible programmer for long enough time so you are not any more terrible. So it takes a lot of practice. And sometimes that's very frustrating. Like I've been doing programming for 20 years for professionally, and I think 30 or something just for fun. And recently at work I was trying to save some things into database, and it just was not working. Like very, very basic problem, and I had to pull a colleague to help me out with that one. But so that just shows that programming can sometimes be difficult, and if you fixate to one way of solving things, you might get stuck. So you it would make idea to ask somebody else to help you, or take a walk and come back later and with fresh eyes try to look at the problem from a different direction, so you could easier see what's your problem. But that's about this episode. I don't know if this was better, worse, same as always, but I thought that I'll give it a try with a little bit different format. Best way to reach me out is either by email or in the Fediverse, where I'm tuturko@mastodon.social. If you have any questions, comments or feedback, I would be very glad to hear that. I have been actually getting a bit more feedback recently about the episodes, and that always makes my day when somebody writes or sends a message or says to me that, hey, I listened to a recent episode and I think something about that. It doesn't have to be a good feedback. It still makes my day. Okay. In the meantime, ad astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.